Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Men and women are very different. This is not a new concept, but when it comes to moving on from a breakup, they definitely have very, very different tactics. And some may say one is right and one is not right in a way to move on.
As far as how they process a breakup?
In terms of how to process a breakup and how to move on.
I feel like men after a breakup will just go with the next girl because they don't want to process the emotions and they need a girl to make them feel good. When a girl's in a breakup, she's like, I'm getting new hair.
Yep.
Whole new personality. New gym.
New wardrobe.
Going to an Ivy League school to get a new degree.
Might even move.
I really do believe you always level up after these traumas.
100%.
And that's why I'm so pro failing. Like, failing makes you so much stronger.
One Brené Brown. Easy way that I like to see my progress in life is you go from who your first boyfriend ever was to then who was your next one. And then you just keep going.
Your first boyfriend was your favorite. So what do we do?
We were just kids.
So that was from the Giggly Squad podcast. Sure. That's with Paige and Hannah Berner. And this is so funny to me because I'm listening to that and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing that with breakups, but I feel like I'm doing that with my tactics to try and get a boyfriend. Like men, when they want to either just lose weight or find a girlfriend, they're just like, let me just tweak one thing. Like, let me give up carbs. Let me give up soda. Let me give up one beer when I go out. And women, I feel like when we want to make a change in our life, whether that be moving on from a breakup or trying to get a boyfriend, we're like plotting on maps. We're creating daily lists of everything we need to do, what time to breathe, what time to eat, what days to wash our hair in order to try and make things work. And to me, that was the perfect example of how women try and move on from a relationship versus men.
So much easier being a guy in every single level.
Exactly.
It's not even close. All right, so this email here is, he's going to date you, but you better keep your body count at a certain number or below it.
Email reads, hey, Burt Show. This new guy I'm dating has me feeling like a hoe. I don't think I'm a hoe. Maybe he's just an a-hoe. I don't know.
There's a haiku.
It's bomb.
It's kind of good. Recently, I started dating this guy and things seem to be going well. We've only been on a few dates, but there's definitely a connection. Bart,
there's the connection. Oh my God, there's the connection. We're so connected.
However, during one of our conversations, the topic of body count came up and he mentioned that he has a hard rule of never dating a woman who has slept with 10 or more men. Ooh. He made it clear that anything in the double digits is off limits for him. I was kind of floored by his admission. So I didn't really have a response at the moment. I just kind of nodded and smiled and left him to assume my number's below 10. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been with more than 10 men. The number is inconsequential, but it's over 10. Should I
just save that part where Kristen's saying that she's definitely been with more than 10 guys?
Do not save that. The email should be off limits when it comes to saving things.
Facts.
Should I continue to date him despite knowing that I've already broken his self-imposed rule? I mean, I guess he's entitled to have his preferences, though I don't necessarily agree with him. Or should I be upfront with him about my actual number and risk him ending things because of it? I value honesty in a relationship, but is body count really that big of a deal? What do you think I should do? Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Go ahead, Jill.
What doesn't know won't hurt him. What he doesn't know will not hurt him. Because here's the thing.
What he don't know about any hoe won't hurt him.
Yeah. Our second haiku of the break. There's no reason to ruin what seems to be going very well. And I think that just goes to show how stupid the body count conversation is, because you could tell him literally any number. You could tell him 8. You could tell him 80. And the only thing that's going to make him think of you differently is the 80. So why not either just say, I don't really feel like sharing, or just lie and then go and prove to him that there's no validity to the argument that number matters.
But I was going to say, is it not off-putting that he has this rule that he won't date women that have slept with over 10 men?
I think it's a prejudice. I think it's a prejudice that he needs to be taught a lesson on, is that your body count doesn't say anything about you. And here's the thing, I get that everyone has different sexual ethics, and I think in his mind, that's a way of adhering to it. But I think you honestly, I think to prove a point, should continue dating this guy. And when he realizes how wonderful successful you are, you eventually drop the bomb that you've been with, let's say 80 guys, and then it proves to him that his hard rule should be a little bit more soft.
Hard rule is soft. Hard rule is soft.
I think she should move on, honestly. I think you won't waste your time here because you said that you value honesty in a relationship, so that means that you want to be honest and you shouldn't have to lie to somebody to be with him anyway. So if that's his preference, for whatever reason that's his preference, I think he has the right to have it the same way you have the right to sleep with as many people as you want. So if you're not for him, eventually y'all are going to come to that crossroads. You might as well just count your losses now.
A, it's none of his business anyway. Mm-hmm. It all happened before he came along, so I feel like it's none of his business. And secondly, he's going to be able to tell. I've had women say before that, oh, I've only slept with three guys.
Yeah.
They are way too good in bed to be having three guys.
Big facts.
You're lying.
Yes,
you're
are.
Lying. And I'm not going to ask. It's The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so Kristen's here to be vulnerable and be honest with you guys right now. She's going through a bit of a life change she's not entirely comfortable with.
And so I'm still not 100% comfortable talking about this, but I put it on the schedule. So I'm kind of forcing myself to just, accountability isn't the right word, but more acknowledgement and just being honest with myself and being honest with you. And I've hesitated for a multitude of reasons to share this, mainly because I want to be protective of my mental space. And I know people can be a little harsh, people can be judgmental, and people can be cruel, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't speak your truth just because some people may not receive it the way you intend it to be received.
I don't know where these people are you're talking about.
And just know I'm only speaking from my own personal experience with my own body. This has no reflection on you or your body or how you feel about your body. But I am in a place right now that I am struggling with my body image. And I haven't experienced this in quite some time, at least to this level. And, you know, I'm actually been very inspired by the other women on the show. Cassie over the years has been so vulnerable and just been so open with her body image and her struggles, and also her trials, her tribulations, but also her wins over the years, which I think is huge and helps so many people. Abby was very vulnerable not too long ago in, you know, sharing what was going on with her.
I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be my ringtone for you. There you go.
Why do you say I'm depressed the way I imagine Deadpool would say I'm depressed?
Well, I'm actually referring to you being very vulnerable about your body image.
Yeah.
And like when you were struggling a while back about like you were doing, like it seemed everything you were doing wasn't working and we were very frustrated, right?
It was the bridesmaid stress, right?
Yeah, I felt like I, for the last year, I'd just been like spinning my wheels. I'm like, I work out every day and I still don't look how I want to look. So like, what's going on?
And I just don't want to be one of those fake people that puts on a front that, you know, everything is awesome. When in actuality, every single day I am looking in the mirror and I don't like what I see. Mm. I am trying to get a place to, I'm trying to get a place of body neutrality rather than body positivity or body negativity. I'd really like to be in that neutrality space right now. But, you know, truth be told, I had a kid in my 40s and, you know, afterwards with breastfeeding and stuff like that, like, you know, I don't want to say like my body bounced back, but it did. But the last 6 months, and I'm assuming it's because I'm a woman of a certain age and, you know, just being completely transparent, I'm 45 and my metabolism is slowing down and I can't live the same life I do and have the same body because that's not how that works. And so I have gained a significant amount of weight for me. And I can see it in photos. I can see it in the mirror. I can see it in the way my clothes fit. The real wake-up call, I was hanging out with a friend and her kids, and her son goes, "You look big." He said that? He did.
And he didn't know.
How old is he?
He's five.
I should say was he, because I'm assuming you took his line.
Kids don't know. They don't know that.
It was, and I'm, I might, like, he's like, you, like, it was, bottom line, it was like, you're big or you look big or something like that. And I just, his mom was mortified, but I rolled with it. I didn't make a big deal about it or anything, but all of like any of the pictures I see of me, any of the videos I see of me. And like I said, every single day, like this is like in my head, on my mind every single day, and it's exhausting. And I'm trying to get to a place of respecting my body and loving my body for what my body did. Like everything I went through to have my son, Jimmy, right? The infertility and the rounds of IVF. And, you know, pregnancy was such a magical experience for me. I loved being pregnant, mainly because you didn't have to suck in your stomach. You could just let everything hang out. I kid, but I don't. And I did. I enjoyed being pregnant. And I'm so proud of my body and what it was able to do. Like, it's really badass when you think about it. And I'm like, you know, like, I did that. Like, she did that. And I wish I still had that mentality. But, and I'm not trying to look at myself as lesser than. And I'm not trying to be vain. And I know that there's more important things to worry about. And that it's something that shouldn't bother me as much as it does. And I think that's why I'm really beating myself up, that why am I letting this bother me so much? But if I'm being honest, it does. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating because you feel like you're doing all the right things. And then when I'm doing the right things, I self-sabotage. So I'm like, you know, I can't tell you the last time I did yoga because I was like, what's the point? And that's what I do. And I know that's how I work. And so then I'm just like, well, if it's not going to, like, what's the point? And so then I just stop doing everything. And it just kind of spins me into this deeper hole and it makes it worse. So now that I'm trying to get my hormones figured out, because I do think I'm like perimenopausal right now. I think you guys can tell that when I was crying watching Celine Dion sing during the opening ceremonies. I'm feeling everything very intensely. And I think I'm also feeling this very intensely, but I feel like a stranger in my body. Mm. And it's a weird place to be. I swear to you, I'm not looking for sympathy. This is not like a woe is me kind of thing. I know there are people out there who would kill to have my body. You get what I'm saying? And it's just for me right now, it's very frustrating. And it's just kind of, I wish it wasn't consuming me the way it was. Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay for you to admit that. And I wish it was more socially acceptable to admit that, because I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Is when I came on and I admitted that I didn't feel good in my body, it was hard to do that because we're people that look conventionally thin and conventionally healthy. And I have been a wide variety of weights in my life. I have been 95 pounds. I have been close to 135 pounds. And the one thing that I have noted from both of those weights is that if I feel good, it really doesn't have to do with the number on the scale. It really does have to do with like how my habits affect how my body feels. So if I'm 135 pounds and I'm eating healthy and working out every day, I feel good in that body because it feels like my body is running the way it's supposed to. But if I'm underweight and I'm 95 pounds and it feels like my body is not running the way it's supposed to, I don't feel good in that body. And I feel like a stranger in that body. And I understand how exhausting it can be because every day you wake up and you got to look for an outfit and it's like, well, I can't wear those because I don't feel good in those pants. And so you have like two pairs of pants that you can choose between. And it just becomes something that over time just builds up in your head so much that it feels like a bigger weight than it is. And I'm in the same boat as you. And I don't really have a solution for it either, but you're speaking to a lot of people's struggles.
But then I also too, I'm like, I hate coming. And this is what I battled with even like sharing this, because we have a lot of talk about body image and body positivity and like loving yourself, and like fat is not bad. So it's like, why am I having, I think I'm beating myself up on multiple levels that I'm feeling this way.
You got to give yourself some grace. I mean, everyone's story is relative to them. So while you may have a body that some other people want, that doesn't matter because you're not them. You're yourself. And your body changes over time. And if you're feeling like a stranger in your own body, There's no worse feeling, and it doesn't matter what weight you are. And we are bombarded every day, even subliminally, with messages like we have to look a certain way. I mean, we've even joked on this show that we have to stay sexy for your partner. And I think that's why I always take issue with that, because I'm like,
what are we joking about? was that a joke?
Listen, I was trying to get us out of jail. Oh, okay. All right. But we say that, and then it's like, well, what happens when you hit life changes where you really can't control that, or you're gonna have to upend everything? And so I think as you go through this, I think if I could give you one piece of unsolicited advice.
No, I'm soliciting for you for advice.
It would be let yourself feel the way you feel and give yourself some grace. You're already dealing with enough trying to get used to your body and figure out your hormones. I mean, you've been doing a ton of stuff to try and work on your health in different capacities. Get rid of the beating up part. It's not doing you any favors, and it's not letting you focus on the actual issue, which is you feeling like a stranger in your body and trying to figure out how you're going to progress moving forward.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's tough. Also, you're super hot.
Thanks.
I know that doesn't matter, but you're banging.
Thank you. And it sounds stupid, but that was really hard for me just to admit, you know?
I bet.
Well, your body is the house you have to live in constantly. So if it's not a house you feel good in, it's only natural to feel that way.
Yeah, she's very shabby, not chic right now.
Shabby chic is a thing.
I'm the shabby. I'm missing the chic right now, Cassie. That's what I'm saying.
So you're more like Baltic and Mediterranean than your Park Place right now, is what you're saying.
Okay. Yes. I got to get back to Park Place.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You can mess with me, but don't mess with my bubble. That's what Audrey here is pretty much saying, because she's really upset that some dude ghosted her mom, and she wanted to know why, and we got answers for her. Hey, Audrey.
Hey.
I understand you're very, very, very protective of your mom, as you should be. So tell us what got us here.
Okay, well, basically, my mom got out of a really crappy marriage and has finally gotten to the point where she was ready to date again. So, my siblings and I have just been super happy and excited for this new chapter in her life. And my brother met a guy when he was out the other night. And basically, him and my sister-in-law met this guy when he was sitting at a bar and they were out to dinner, right? So then they thought, okay, this guy seems really great for our mom. So they asked him if he was open for it, and he's like, yeah, sure. So obviously we were super excited, and my mom was too after hearing about it. So my mom and this guy went out 2 weeks ago, and, you know, she left the date, and she was group texting us that it was, like, such a magical night, and, you know, thanked us for being super supportive. And it's basically been 2 weeks, and she's, like, more self-conscious than ever because he has totally ghosted her.
Aww. Oh, the first date post-resort and post-divorce, and he ghosted her?
Yeah. So she's not feeling the greatest. Mm. And I try to tell her, like, Mom, you're hot. Like, it has nothing to do with you. Like, trust me. And she's like, no. Like, I don't think so. You know, something's wrong or whatever. So I was just wondering if you guys might be able to, like, help me find out. Like, maybe I can give you his number or you guys can reach out to him or something.
Yeah, this is one of the few times you can turn around your parents' words and say, welcome to the real world. Younger women have been going through this for years now, right? Yeah. No, I understand the insecurity here on mom's part. Mm-hmm. Look, it's really, really tough. As a guy that's been divorced, going out on that first date after when you've been out of the pool for so long, it's terrifying, right? But you got to get that first one out of the way. And when it ends up in a ghosting situation, which she hasn't felt in years and years, if ever, I can understand how, as a daughter, you'd be like, when you want to find out, you want reasons. You want answers.
Of course.
All All right, so yeah. I believe that we will have Tommy. You have results here? Okay, so you want to tell her exactly what you did?
Yeah, I reached out. Audrey gave me the guy's number, and I texted with him. We're going to call him Rob. And Audrey, I have good news and I have bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is it is something about your mom. That is why he is not going for the second date.
How long did it take him to hit you back on his BlackBerry?
Why do you say that? He does come across as a little elderly, but it was in relative good time. But the good news is I think your mom dodged a bullet here.
Okay.
I won't give it away yet, but you'll see why. I said, hey, Rob, my name's Tommy. I work with The Bird Show. And he hit me back. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. What is that? And I said, we're a morning radio show and a podcast.
FM.
And he said,
that's really thrown him.
I said, okay. Okay, hello, Tommy with The Bird Show. What's this about? And I said, well, we got a message from a woman named Audrey. She mentioned that her mom went on a date with you recently. And, well, she's a bit confused because it seems like things were going well, but then you kind of disappeared. And she's a bit disappointed for her mom. And then Rob said, I don't know a woman named Audrey. Who's her mom? And I said, of course, her mom is Carol. You went out a couple of weeks ago. And he said, yes, that's correct. And how does this concern you and The Bird Show, Tommy? It's very formal. And I said, well, we often do a segment where we find out why second dates don't happen when one party thinks they had a great first date. Audrey says you ghosted her mom, and she's hoping you could shed some light on why there's been no second date.
What's ghosting, youngster?
Well, that's exactly what he said, I ghosted? What does that mean? And I said, ghosted basically means you disappeared on him and ended all communication. And he goes, right, well, I guess I ghosted then because there's no need to continue communicating with someone you just met but have no intention of going forward with. And I said, I understand, but Audrey's hoping for a bit more of an explanation. What happened on the date, or is there something specific you didn't like about her mom, Carol? And he goes, yes, there was.
Oh, my goodness.
And then two words. Her feet.
That she had two?
I said,
or did she not have enough feet?
I said,
what's the problem here?
I said, her feet. And he goes, correct. And I was like, you can't be serious. I had the same exact reaction you guys are having. And he said, I'm very serious. Her feet just weren't my cup of tea.
Didn't y'all ever watch the movie Boomerang?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's a good callback.
We have a Burt's Big Adventure mom that was in that movie.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you later. Uh-huh.
And I said, you're saying you won't go on a second date with her because of her feet. And he said, yes, that is correct. And I said, I feel like you're pulling my leg. But I didn't mean it like that. He said, very clever, Tommy. He had the same reaction. And I said, no pun was intended.
Your prosthetic leg?
Not pulling anyone's leg. I just have a preference. Her feet were a bit big for my taste, and I'm very particular about the shape and length of each toe.
Fam.
Yeah. I have a type.
Weirdo.
Right. And I said, you saw her feet on the first date? And he said, I certainly did. She was wearing sandals. If she hadn't been, I would have asked she remove her shoes I could see.
So this is not a mom problem here.
I said, okay, well, I think that's a lame reason to blow off a relationship, but I guess everyone has their deal breakers. Thanks for your time. And he said, you are welcome. So evidently, dude has a foot fetish.
Okay.
He doesn't have a foot fetish.
He's beyond it.
He has a foot type. He has a foot preference. Yeah, semantics.
So this is not a your mom thing. It's a Ralph thing.
Please tell her his name is Rob.
An older name feels like Ralph.
That's correct. My step grandfather's name Ralph.
There you go.
let your mom know there was literally nothing she could do on this date.
No.
Literally nothing.
How about wearing closed toed shoes? That might help.
Thank God my mom didn't get involved with him. He sounds weirdo.
Hey, I know you want to nurture your mom through this whole process. It's just tough out there. It doesn't matter what generation it is, right?
No, totally. I agree.
All right. Again, tell her not a her thing, a him thing. You got your info. She dodged a bullet.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye now.
I definitely appreciate it. Bye-bye.
It's the Bircha.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
Okay. Email. Underage drinking should happen at home or should it never happen at home? She's looking for your advice.
My boyfriend's 19-year-old nephew is coming to visit us for a few days. I was excited at first because I genuinely love his entire family. However, things took a turn when my boyfriend casually mentioned that his sister allows the nephew to drink at home as long as he doesn't go anywhere. Now, I'm not one to judge other people's parenting skills. But the fact that my boyfriend went out and bought the kind of beer the kid likes without a second thought has really rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, we're talking about a minor here. I can't stop it from happening at his sister's house, but I don't like the idea of allowing it in our house. I expressed my concerns to my boyfriend, but it quickly turned into an argument. He doesn't seem to see the problem with it. He says his parents had always allowed it too. He also said that his nephew won't be leaving the house or going anywhere. So what's the big deal? The big deal to me is that it is illegal, and I don't think it is okay to break the law, even if it's behind closed doors or in your own home. I also believe that allowing a minor to drink, especially under our supervision, sends the wrong message. It normalizes underage drinking and disregards the potential consequences, both legal and health-wise. Plus, what if something were to happen while he's with us? How do I get through to my boyfriend and make him see that this is not okay?
Yeah, I think the first thing you hit him with is legalities of the whole thing. I mean, forget about ethics or values. If something happens to one of those teens and they leave the house or whatever, you're responsible for that teen.
But say for this instance, there are no other teens. It's a nephew coming to visit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any friends there. It's literally just him in the house drinking.
Right.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Because he's 19 and I'm thinking, okay, yes, in the United States, 21 is legal drinking age. But if he was good to go anywhere else in the world, mm-hmm. he would be allowed to drink.
Right. I know the politically correct thing to say. I also know that a beer is a beer.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing shots with your kid or he's not doing shots in the house, I might be a little bit more liberal in my thinking than others. But you are taking a risk either way.
For me, I think if I had a kid that age, I just don't feel like I would feel comfortable drinking with him. I mean, I understand the mindset of they don't get it home, they're going to get it somewhere else. And I even understand when you get to be 21 or around that age when parents are like, well, you're going to drink with me because I don't want you to be out there drinking irresponsible. But at that age, I feel like you would have to drink behind my back. I wouldn't be able to drink with my kid.
I really feel you on this because as someone who also has crippling anxiety, I'm always thinking about the worst case scenario. So I get from your standpoint, you're probably thinking, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen and what are the consequences? And you're probably thinking, jail doesn't really seem that comfortable. So let's just not get him the Miller Lite. But
for PBR.
Yeah. It's a little bit hypocritical, though, because I will say, like, at 19, I mean, unpolitically correct, like, we were drinking at my parents' house, and it was really no big deal. So I guess from, like, an anecdotal standpoint, like, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I also feel your anxiety in this, where you're like, it's illegal, this is a very black and white thing, I don't even understand why we're even arguing it.
Brace yourself, people. You don't have to drink to have a good time.
I don't even know. Did she say something in Latin? Yeah. The way I heard it in my ears, it was Latin.
Here's the deal. Nobody should drink. Like, you shouldn't drink. Your boyfriend shouldn't drink. Nephew shouldn't drink. Like, y'all just hang out and enjoy each other's company and spend quality time together. And nobody drinks. Like, it is unnecessary, especially in this instance.
Yeah.
It's not needed.
As a guy that's had a very dysfunctional relationship with alcohol, and I still fight it my entire life, yeah, that is probably the best way to go, for sure. You know, I started drinking as a binge drinker in high school, and that was sort of the pattern that I started, and it was the same in college, and then after I graduated, that's silly. after I was asked to leave college, I binge drank the entire, and it's been a problem with me my entire life. So as Kristen's saying, if you can nip it in the bud, then great, do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think you're going to be solving this kid's alcoholism if he does have it by just not giving him a PBR this one weekend. But I think you got to do, it's your house, your rules. You got to do what your gut says. And I think you got to establish those boundaries now with your boyfriend so that it doesn't continuously coming up the more little nephews and nieces that start running around.
All right. Our producer, Amber, was telling us a while back that she wasn't happy about her body image and she was going to start doing some stuff about it.
Yes. I have been dealing with hating my body for a long time. But recently I did notice a change, a good one. I did notice a change, but the way that I realized it is super embarrassing. So I was sitting outside with my best friend, Wesley. You've all met him at the time. And we were just having a deep conversation. And we were talking about, honestly, at the time, we were talking about like what I was going to do to lose weight and all that stuff. And he was like, well, what about Mo? You said you were going to ask him. I said, I did. But I've honestly been putting it off a little bit because I look up to Mo. And when I'm trying to work out, is a very, what's the word? Starts with a V. I'm very vulnerable at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm still going to hit you up.
I'm waiting on you.
I'm just mentally
trying. I ain't going to put no pressure on you, though.
Yeah. And so we were talking about that. There were times where I'm like looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I just do not like what I'm seeing, you know? And I have been working out. I've been using the gym that we have here. Okay. I've been doing my Thrill of the Fight boxing VR stuff, doing all those sort of things. And I think it's something that a lot of people can actually understand what I'm feeling, whether you feel you're overweight or you feel you're too thin or whatever your body image is that you're unhappy with. And so when I was sitting there talking to Wesley on our patio about it, I was viciously attacked by some sort of insect that bites or stings. I don't even know what it was. And it stung me right on my upper thigh. And I was trying to see it. And I was like, what the hell is that? You know? And so I see the bite and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then I just started laughing. And Wes was like, what is so funny? And I was like, I can see this mosquito bite. And he's like, what do you mean you can see the mosquito bite? He goes, what? I was like, Wes, this is the first time I've seen my upper thigh in years. I lost weight because I didn't have to move my boobs to the side or my stomach to the side. I just looked down and I was like, holy crap.
Look at that. Who would have thought?
Well, that's great news. I mean, so does that motivate you to continue on whatever journey it is you're on right now?
It is. I'm going to tell you, Mo, I need to work on my thighs now that I can see them. We got to get those going.
Okay, now we know where they're at. We're going to get them right.
She has confirmed she has thighs.
Yes. And I just want you to know, I am absolutely not going to judge you. I am not going to think of anything that, like, don't overthink it. Don't be in your head about it. You have to start somewhere. That's always the problem, I think, that holds people back is that first day, that second day. But you got to start somewhere. Everybody that you look at that's in the shape that they want to be in or that are getting there, they had to start somewhere, too.
Exactly. You know, I said this before, too, when I see people in the gym, and, you know, I've been a gym rat my entire life, right? So this is sort of my lane. So I can tell sort of the noobs that are in the gym and the ones that come in there that are insecure about being on the equipment because they're not quite sure how like they work and stuff like that. But I can assure you that most people in that gym either A, know that you're a noob and they are not judging you that way at all, or the ones that go every day know how difficult that discipline is and they admire you for just being there. It is, at least the gyms I've been to don't look down upon people that are just starting to work out for the first time. But there are some meathead gyms that you go into and they will judge you. Like, you got to be in great shape to go into that gym. I don't think Mose is one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even go in those gyms. No, but he's right. Most people believe that when you go into a gym, the people who are putting in the work every day are going to judge you. But most of us are proud that you are actually starting that journey because it takes a lot of discipline and it's not easy. And people who do it all the time know that. So, no, please don't be, you can be vulnerable, that's fine, but don't think that I'm judging you or I'm going to put any extra pressure on you, not at all.
I respect that, thank you so much. And for those of you listening who are going through the same thing, I'm going to give you the same advice that my mother gave me. Stop being so hard on yourself and stop hating on my friend. Stop hating on my daughter. I think you said that too.
It all really starts with just like one workout, just one step doing it, and then it becomes sort of contagious. And I know you're joking about your bug bite in your thigh, but that is a win right there.
Absolutely.
And when you start to get those little itty bitty wins, it motivates you to keep going back.
It does.
So keep going. All you got to do is keep walking in there and keep doing it.
I immediately did 3 squats after I saw my thighs.
Look at you. Look at you. You'll be doing 4 tomorrow. Yes.
Should we make a definite like commitment day here where you approach Mo and say, okay, today is deadline day.
All right. Yes. Mo, I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Oh, you're really committing, huh?
Yeah.
My first deadline is talking to you after the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit to talking about the commitment.
I was going to say, we have a deadline to talk about the deadline. Yes. Okay.
Just do it the first time. Just do it the first time.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No